Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. And Michael, we have a special guest.
Yeah, really, really excited about this one. This is Paul Webster. He is a senior fellow at the Cicero Institute out of Austin, Texas. And they've just released an analysis of homelessness programs in a few markets, including New Orleans. And I think he's got some ideas and a perspective that I think are sorely needed. And so I'm glad that you're having him on.
Absolutely. Paul, welcome to the show. Your report reviews audits in Arizona, California, Los Angeles, New Orleans, and Washington State. Obviously, this is a unique challenge across this country. Tell us about your organization and the work that you guys do.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on. First of all, by the way, I was in New Orleans last week and had a great time at City Park. I played a round of disc golf there and only lost a couple of discs. So,
and sweated off how many pounds?
quite a few. It was a beautiful day, but it was a little spicy, I have to say. So the Cicero Institute, we're a nonprofit advocacy organization out of Austin, Texas. We mainly focus on state policy reforms, everything from education, healthcare, regulatory reform, and obviously public safety and homelessness has become just a really significant part of our policy portfolio because in many jurisdictions, it's the number one concern that people have. And what we've really been trying to focus on is, you know, for the past 20-some years, we've had homelessness programs and homelessness policy, but beyond that, we've had homelessness promises. And the homelessness promises are, we've got great strategies, we've got an amazing coordinated system, we're doing everything we can to get people off the street and into housing. And frankly, the bottom line is that we've had more money dedicated at the federal, state, and local levels towards homelessness. We have more capacity than ever, which means that there's more housing for people who need housing. There's more services for people who need services. There's more mobile showers, food distribution, outreach workers, case managers. But it's more of that kind of capacity than ever before. And the problem is that there's more homeless than ever before. So something's got to give. And the more that these increases occur, the more you start seeing states and localities saying, hey, what's really going on? We need to figure this out. And so what I did is I looked at just five different jurisdictions, Arizona, California, the state of California, Los Angeles, New Orleans, and Washington State, and some of the different analyses and assessments of the Continuum of Care program, which is the federally designated entity that is funded and coordinates homelessness response, and just started looking at commonalities and what some of these assessments see, and it was kind of disturbing. It was kind of unfortunate because if you listen to the folks that are praising these systems, you would think that everything is going great. But folks on the street know, and now we've got these reports in very different jurisdictions really pointing at the same things.
So what did your review reveal? This is intriguing, right? Because typically you have the resources, the services, the strategy, and the money. You would expect a certain outcome.
That's right. So we found essentially five or six specific takeaways. One of the takeaways was that there's just a really inconsistent and inadequate oversight component to the continuums of care programs. So this covers everything from unverified payments to missed site inspections to program standard enforcement. You know, it's simple things. It's like, are you doing what you say that you're doing? Are you paying are you spending the money on where we asked you, you agreed with us to spend the money? So oversight is a real challenge. Another big, big problem is data systems. So back in 2009, when Congress made a big change to how the federal government funded communities for homelessness, they made a big emphasis of saying, we're going to have these very sophisticated computer systems and databases so that we can make sure that people are hooked up to the right resources and the right housing. And the problem is that while that was a great promise, the data systems are very fragmented and flawed. So what happens is when you don't have good information, it's really hard to gather up and have good conclusions. So decision makers, whether it's city council members, mayors, governors, or even programs on the ground, don't have a good idea about what's working and why it's working and why things aren't working. So the data systems are a big challenge. There's issues of accountability. We've got, when HUD, who is the main federal agency that oversees homelessness programs, when HUD points out to these continuums of care some inconsistencies or corrective actions, they just weren't taken. There's really kind of a sad story in Los Angeles where you've got their coordinating entity, Los Angeles's equivalent of Unity, if you will, who was cited three or four different times for the same violation over the years, and they still haven't corrected it. And then the last thing is service access just is inequitable. What that means is that you've got families who are dying to get off the street who don't know who to call. You've got beds that are going empty while there are people that are desperate for places to live on the street. You've got folks that have just got terrible, terrible results with serious mental illness and drug addiction that just can't seem to be connected to treatment. So you've got very vulnerable populations that they just can't get the services they need. And those are kind of the key takeaways that we found in this report.
And those run consistent across all those programs. If you don't mind, let's pivot now to New Orleans itself. Other issues there?
Well, I think the biggest takeaways in looking at what happened in New Orleans, I think there's really two things that struck me. The first one is just the failure of Unity to oversee major grants, how they were giving money. This money was supposed to go to homeless service providers, and they couldn't really track where the money was going and how it's being used. But I think the second thing is in my view, it's even more alarming. The assessment, the analysis of New Orleans Continuum of Care called Unity was conducted by the Louisiana Legislative Auditor. And the legislative auditor basically was like, look, I want access to your data. I want to know what you're spending money on. I want to know what services or state services, what federal services, how we are serving the same populations, because we want to make sure that if we're providing EBT cards, they're going to people that aren't double dipping. If there are folks that are coming out of state correctional facilities and they're ending up in the homeless system, we need to know about that. And the challenge is that Unity basically said, we don't have to answer to you, state of Louisiana. We're more interested in answering to the federal government. So when the Louisiana legislative auditor subpoenaed Unity for its records and for its information, they went to court and tried to quash the subpoena. And in my view, that's really quite disturbing when you've got an entity that is trying to serve vulnerable people in the state of Louisiana, in the parish of New Orleans, that's basically, you know, saying, hey, state, stay out of our business, when the state has, that is their business.
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember hearing that. It may have been a story, but you're right. That's very disturbing, because if you're answering to the federal government, what do you have to hide, right?
Well, that's
but this
exactly
probably
right.
goes and back to this oversight, failure of oversight. You know, I was the former sheriff here in the suburbs and dealt with a lot of these programs, participated in a lot of them. They don't like oversight because mm-hmm. they don't like to admit to their failures.
Yeah,
you know, they want... You know, they want everything to be rosy, and life's not rosy. Yeah. I mean, it's just not.
Well, and I mean, you know, we're not talking about, you know, I mean, it's one thing for people to, quote unquote, you know, cheat on their EBT card, or, you know, there's ways to get around stuff. Okay, I get that.
Right.
But what
yeah.
we're really talking about here are people who are living and dying on the street. We're talking about folks that are being sentenced to essentially a slow, painful death due to drug addiction or untreated mental illness or just exploitation on the street. This is life and death criteria. And when you've got programs that basically are like, look, we don't like outcomes. We don't want to share outcomes. All we want you to do is to buy our rosy scenario and give us money to do that, that's a real problem.
Well, it becomes, you know, a lot of these groups in the not-for-profit world, they're raising money. It's harder to raise money if you have outcomes that are not rosy that you have to explain, right? But I don't think people are not going to fund you. I mean, you know, I contribute dollars. I'm sure you contribute dollars. You expect that there's going to be some failures. This homelessness is a unique challenge that for government, because there are a lot of different contributing factors to this, and it's hard to have just one explanation of it, right?
That's exactly right. But here's the thing: it's, you know, just for a program's own kind of metrics to know how many people they serve, how many of those people are the same people that they served last month, whether or not those individuals were referred to treatment programs, and whether or not they took advantage of those treatment programs and they completed it. Those are pretty basic things. I think what's really happening, and this isn't just isolated to New Orleans, it's something that we see across the country where the objective is more of a kind of a rights-based enabling, like, you know, people who have no way to earn income, who are very, very significantly disabled and have significant health challenges, we're kind of creating this quasi-entitlement where homelessness now has become kind of like an entitled status instead of something that people are anxious to get out of, because there's no good end in it.
Right. Now, interesting for sure. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul Webster, who is a senior fellow at the Cicero Institute. Paul, I'm going to have you back on the show. I want to have a much more expanded conversation about this, because I think it is really, really important. And I want to delve into your report and read it and follow up with you, if that's okay.
Love to do it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We'll be right back for Michael Heck's final thoughts. Stay with us.